Before I begin, I just want to assure everybody I've tested for COVID twice, and it's not that, it's something even more foul and horrible. So, between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. I hear the prophet Joel in this morning's readings, and although I know his words were spoken thousands of years ago, I can still hear God speak to us through them today. Because Joel is speaking to a world where the people felt that they lived in darkness and gloom. And we found ourselves at a time where wars are raging on the other side of the world, and we feel helpless as we watch people be displaced on TV. Refugees are moving around the globe in record numbers, and natural disasters like the recent quake in Turkey and just the ongoing climate change weigh on us heavily. I've learned recently that something called eco-grief is a condition that exists among many young people, particularly people in elementary and high school. And because of this, I've met people in their early 20s who just have never voted because they feel like, what's the point? It's as though they are sitting in sackcloth and ashes. They don't feel that there is any hope for their future. But this is not what Ash Wednesday is supposed to be about. We are not supposed to enter Lent with a feeling of gloom and darkness. There is a light, there is hope even now, because we follow Jesus into the wilderness. So if we revisit Joel's words again, he says, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." Once again, God invites us back into relationship with God's self, saying, "Come to me. I mean it. Come back. Bring your sorrow and what you've done to me and what you've done to each other, and come back to me, because I am kind and merciful. I am not like humans. I always forgive." And then comes the question, do we want to be forgiven? Something we'll be looking at in our Lenten study. Do we want to take the opportunity to think of our parts of the big things like climate change, to think of the things that we can do to help the people who are hungry in our community, to think about the things we can do to help people on the other side of the world, or on the really close to hope levels, to think about the hurts we've caused to other people, even the people we love? Do we want to put down that pain and sorrow that we're carrying? I know I do. I'm going to give up this cold for Lent. God says, stop worrying about your outward appearance and what people think, and pay attention to the things that are in your heart. What is on your heart today? Some of the things that I hear people say weigh them down are things like the irreversible state of the climate, the state of politics, the way our world leaders treat one another and the way they rule, but also broken relationships in families, estrangements, arguments that we can't remember the beginning of. And then there are the things that we use to try and make ourselves feel better. We can switch off the world and switch on Netflix or Disney Plus or the BritBox, which I've recently discovered. Some of us are comfort eaters. Not me, but yeah, some of us. No, that's not true. When I've got a problem or I'm upset about something, I'll often find myself in front of the refrigerator, not the altar. And perhaps some of you can identify with that. So Lent is a time when we examine ourselves to look at what really is going on in our hearts and acknowledge that we need to offload it. It's not about staring into it and just feeling like worms. It's about giving it up. And God says, yes, come to me with all that stuff and give it to me. Give up what you currently use to try and soothe yourself. Come to me with fasting and prayer, and let's get together. Ask me for help. Are we praying for cooperation in the fight against climate change? For refugees, for our world leaders? Are we doing that daily? Are we allowing our prayers to shape our actions? After all, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Are we praying for the people who've hurt us, asking God to help us reconcile? The invitation's always there, but are we saying yes? Are we praying for forgiveness for ourselves? Ash Wednesday is a mark of the beginning of Lent, and we physically mark ourselves with ashes to remember that we're committing to this time. Intentionally fasting from what we know keeps from God, the things that we use to make ourselves feel better instead of asking God for help. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that God made the first human out of the dust. And if you're an evolutionist, okay, we crawled out of the dust. Just as God made you and knew you and called you by name since before time began, that's the God in whose name you were baptized. That's the same God who became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and came to us in the person of Jesus. That's the same God that we follow into the Lenten wilderness. And Jesus tells us in today's gospel, don't let your fasting and prayer be about you. Don't let it be about a tax receipt. Let it be about God. Whatever you've decided to fast from, do it joyfully and freely. Choose something that you know you've put in place of time with God, and maybe don't tell anybody. It's not something you need to put on social media. Depend on God instead of that thing. We do it as a spiritual discipline, not as a dietary fad, not to impress social media followers or to lose weight, although it's tempting. Fasting is actually a way to love ourselves, not punish ourselves, because it's a practice that brings us closer to God. So think of it as a self-care routine. It strips away the things that hold us back from God. Fasting leads to prayer. When I feel myself reach for the refrigerator handle, turn to prayer instead brings me closer to God. When we feel a craving or a temptation for the things we've chosen to give up, we can give thanks to God that God is there to help us and that God will guide us through Lent and show us how to live fully in who God created us to be. In the now, not later, when we finished all our chores and dealt with the to-do lists that never end and got into bed at the end of the day and thought, oh, I didn't spend any time with God today. That's the point of giving something up, so that you're reminded constantly during the day, oh, I'm just going to go and finish that Ben and Jerry's. Oh, wait a second, no. We pray to return to God's two commandments on which hang all the law and the prophets. Love God with a whole heart, whole soul, whole mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Simply put, to pray is to love God. Prayer leads us to change, to action for those who are powerless, for the planet that needs us to act, for the children in our lives who need to find hope in their futures and are looking to us to lead them. It changes the way we live because through it we are changed. We don't pray to change God, we pray to change ourselves. As our prayers are answered, we find our courage and find our way to action. We find that we are able to love our neighbors, even the people we disagree with about that fence, even the people who are not like us, and even the people we don't like. In a nutshell, Lent is about love, not about punishing yourself. It's about loving God, loving yourself enough to go to God and give up the things that are hurting you. The practices of prayer and fasting lead us into freedom to give generously back to the Creator who made us and called us good and gave us the greatest gift, this life. And we accept that we fall short along the way, but remembering that we are called to light a candle in the darkness because the one we follow into the wilderness of Lent is the one we call the light of the world. And our world needs to know him. So I wish you a very introspective, meditative, and successful Lent. Amen.